home and chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.
Hey, this is Cece Coleman from First Date. You can catch me on FUBAR Radio. This is just a little reminder, if you're thinking about going out or you have been out, please, please, please stay at home. This isn't about you. There is a bigger picture to all of this. We need to be thinking about everyone else. We need to come together because we are all in this together. Hey, this is Cece Coleman from First Dates. You're listening to Stay Home and Chill on FUBAR Radio, keeping you company through the coronavirus.
The Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
In the studio, I have with me Stephen Bridges.
Yeah, woo! Hello.
Hi, my chair's just like completely spinning around.
I know, I'm sort of spinning, like just for the fun of it, and I'm remembering I'm on webcam, I don't want to look too silly. Need to be more professional.
What do you mean? More silly is
more silly?
And he's off.
I'm done. Spun out of the room.
Stephen is a YouTube buddy of mine and also magician.
Yeah, no, I am, aren't I? I often forget that.
You are a magician.
A real one, not any of these tricks. Actual magic.
Real life
magic.
Yeah,
totally.
Do you want to... I want to hear in your words, your perspective, my reaction to your magic in real life and also when I watch your videos.
You know, I have a habit of, like, sort of mentally, like, racing people's reactions because I have to do it so many times when I edit. I have to be like, oh, is that a good reaction? Is that not a good reaction? You have a good reaction. You have a good reaction to magic, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're not like, you're just here to have fun, you know? So when you see magic, you're
angry,
in a...
angry, though.
Yeah, but that's hilarious. All you want is a strong emotional response. It doesn't have to be a positive one.
Oh, okay.
A lot of hate is still a good response
sometimes
in my books.
Sometimes I just, like, think of if someone's just, like, watching a bunch of your videos and then they just see these comments underneath it, which is me just being like, fuck you!
Oh, it's hilarious because sometimes, have you seen the responses to those? Because sometimes people are like, they're sending
oh
you
my God,
hate.
They think that I'm bullying
like, yeah,
you. They
fuck
don't
you, Hannah.
They don't realise we're
get
friends.
It. Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah.
So we've got some games coming up, innuendo or innuendon't. We've got Natalie in the studio now. Woo, 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 woo.
Hello.
We're going to play a little game, but first, Stephen and I put out polls on Twitter. Stephen is not happy with the result of his...
It's not...
What was your poll? How
did
you...
It's not that I'm not happy. It's that everyone's wrong, and that makes me sad. My poll was, am I ginger? This is on Twitter, on twitter.com/Stephen Bridges. Stephen with a V, because who spells it with a PH? What are they doing? Bridges with an S, because more than one bridge is better than one bridge. Yeah, am I ginger? Yes, a little bit or no. And so far, it's not looking good. 50% saying yes, 44% saying a little bit, and 6% saying no.
50% saying yes, that's...
But that, if you think about it, really, not to make this worse...
I just voted yes.
94% of people think I'm at least a little bit ginger. The beard doesn't count. The beard doesn't count. This is outrageous.
Beard doesn't count.
You put up a poll, what'd you do?
I put a poll, I said... Where is it? I've lost it. I said, how ginger am I? And the options are completely, a little bit, and not at all. And at the moment, 54% say not at all.
Damn it! But that's still 46% of people saying that you're at least a little bit ginger, Hannah. You've got to accept part of that now.
I've always accepted that I'm a little bit ginger.
Well, now accept it more.
Curtains match the drapes.
Brilliant.
Okay, let's play a game. Are you ready for innuendo or innuendon't?
So ready.
Okay, so Natalie has found a bunch of words and phrases on Urban Dictionary. And we have to guess if they're an innuendo or an innuendon't.
Okay.
So if it's sexual or not sexual.
I understand. Good.
Good. I'm also explaining it to listeners.
No, I'm ready.
New listeners. And so we have to guess that and then also the meaning. And we need a buzz-in noise.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what's your buzz-in noise going to be? I like it.
Thanks.
Mine's going to be... Because I'm jet-lagged.
You've got to yawn at a pace, though, if you need to get it in quickly.
It's just making me real yawn now. Wait. One moment.
Last snort there as well, by the way.
Oh, it's not coming. Okay, never mind.
It's not like a sneeze.
It was like halfway there, and then I laughed, and so it went away. Okay. You ready?
We're ready? Okay. Yeah. Number one, sun-slashed. Sun-slashed.
Oh! That's never happened before. What do we do?
I think we go guest first.
I was going to say it's not an innuendo.
That is correct.
Yeah,
I was also going to go there.
Oh, well, yeah, sure you were. Yeah. It's 1-0, right? That's how it works.
No, you have to guess the meaning.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you say it again?
Sun-slashed.
Sunslash. I'm just going to say sunburn, right?
I have an idea of what it is.
Well, it is sunburn, but it's a particular type of sunburn.
I know. Well, I have a guess, because I think my friend got sunslashed. She had ripped jeans.
Yeah.
And so she only got burnt in, like, the gaps in the jeans.
Oh, God. It's not that. It's more of an all-over sunburn, but it's not just regular sunburn. It's a type of sunburn that... What happens when you burn?
You peel.
Right, you peel. So there we go. Hannison, it is a terribly awful sunburn, peeling red sensitive. It was written originally in the book The Lord of the Flies. That's where it comes from.
I think we get half a point each.
I think
that's generous.
That was teamwork.
Just going
we got that. Yeah. You're welcome. I'm kind to my guests.
No, very.
Okay, number two, sly eyeing.
Oh, my God. What is that?
Yes, Hannah.
It doesn't sound like a real yawn.
Does it not?
Sounds like a moan. Not like a sexual moan, just a moan.
So that's an innuendo, non-sexual moan. Wait, what was it again?
Sly eyeing.
Sly eyeing. I think it's non-sexual. But I think, it depends where your boundary is sexual. Because I kind of feel like it's that emoji with like the eyes, and you could be like flirting and like... But it's not necessarily, like, explicitly sexual.
I think it could be either, depending on how you feel about it, but it's not that. It's not an emoji. Oh,
okay.
Sly eyeing.
I'm just...
It is to do with your eyes, something that
like
you
like flirting with the eyes? Like a little, like a little glance?
Undress,
that's like,
undress someone with your eyes?
Well, I think I'm going to give that to you, because it does say here, it's slyly looking at another's body with sexual intent, which could be, I would say, a good thing, but the sentence is in it says, he gave me the shivers, such a creep, sly eyeing me, which is a negative factor.
Okay, I see.
I think you could be good in a good way as well, couldn't you?
So there's, like, the creeps who will...
Yeah.
Sly eye
and you. But then if Childish Gambino did to you, you wouldn't mind that, Hannah, would you?
Oh my God, Childish Gambino.
I feel like if you do the sly eye thing wrong, you just look like you have a twitch or something. It just can't.
Yeah. Or.
How'd you do that?
The best place to sly eye someone is on the beach whilst you're wearing sunglasses. Because then they can't see your eyes.
But then isn't the point that you're like communicating?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah. I think it's sort of with sexual intent in the sentence. It's like he gave me the shivers because he was slying me. But I think you can do it in a nice way as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it depends if you're just like checking someone out or if you're trying to get their attention.
Yeah, because it could be the creepy sly eye. It could be the sexy sly eye.
Yeah, like if you're at a party and you're both making eyes at each other. You know the drill. Let's just say that. Good.
Is that just like the good sound?
Yeah.
That means you were right.
I think you won.
How? I thought you got it.
I gave you a point, Hannah. Just take it.
Wait for me.
Yeah, I gave you a point.
Yeah, you were more specific than I was.
I thought you got the sly eye.
I just said it was like giving hackies, didn't I?
I'll take the point.
Okay. Number three.
Yeah.
Raxon.
What the hell?
Raxon.
Mm. I'm like pulling a complete
Raxon.
Blank.
Can you spell it, please?
Raxen.
Oh, right. That's ruined it. I had no idea.
Raxen. Raxon.
I mean, this has got to be sexual because we've had two that aren't in a row, haven't we? Oh no, the second one was kind
sort of a bit borderline. Yeah,
almost a real yawn.
Did you do a buzzer though, Stephen? Yeah.
I'm going to say that it is sexual.
I'm going to let you have that. Yeah, that's. I would say it's sexual. Okay. But what is it?
Oh gosh, you said that in such an ambiguous manner. So it's not that.
So
sexual.
Natalie thinks it's sexual.
Well, I certainly think it's sexual.
Raxon.
Actually, it's quite sort of...
Is there a contextual phrase?
I will put you in a sentence. Mm-hmm. Not you. I'll put you in a sentence.
Put you in a sentence. That sounds great. I'm going to say that to someone. See how they respond.
Oh, man, I've got another Raxon in my life.
Oh, like a... Oh, really?
What?
Like someone that you're sleeping with, I'm going to go with.
You're sleeping with her, but she's more than that to you.
Oh, okay.
Just sex. There's more going. There's more.
She's not like a girlfriend, though. That's too extreme for a Raxon. She's saying this like I know.
She's not your girlfriend.
She's just a girl I'm dating.
Friends with benefits kind of thing?
She's somebody that you know. She's maybe a bit... I want to say the words in the sentence, but I'm not going to. She's...
Older?
No, she's not older. But she's... You like her.
She doesn't like me.
You're unable to stop it.
What?
You're like trying so hard to make it.
I don't want to say the words in the
addicted
sentence.
Addicted to having sex with her.
Is it like bad news relationship kind of thing? In
no.
She's in a relationship. I love her. She's sleeping with me. She's got a boyfriend.
She's taking control of your... I'm mouthing the words now.
I'm like, what is happening?
Heart? Dominating?
This is a hard one, actually.
Heart,
I realise this now. Yes, so she is maybe...
Heart,
no,
dick.
Not dick. Not dick. Or and dick, possibly, as well. But definitely heart.
It's a friends with benefits situation, but mm-hmm. you're starting to develop feelings and then she doesn't. Come
I'm
on.
Just going to give that to you.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yay. She is a hot, mysterious girl who is stealing your heart and you just can't do anything about it.
She can't do anything about it.
It's nice. It's
like
nice.
A...
hate that, don't you?
Raxon. Is it kind of... similar to like the Sphinx, like mermaid, what is it? Like this, I don't know, seduction thing.
Oh, I know what you mean. I can't think of the word now, though.
A Sphinx, is that?
No.
Sphinx. Isn't Sphinx
no,
the
that's
no.
an animal?
Yeah, that's.
Seducing mythological thing. I know
Medusa.
What you mean.
Medusa. No, she turns no. you to stone.
Oh, that's not what
that's
you want
not
to be
sexy,
doing.
Really.
Kind of like mermaids. Mermaids mythically are meant to be quite seductive,
yeah.
aren't they?
Yeah, and then
Aphrodite.
You drown or something, right?
Yeah, they kill you.
Aphrodite is supposed to be the one that's like the goddess of...
Goddess of love.
Yeah, maybe it's her.
Babe, what
there
a babe.
There you go. Back row and chill on
Fubar Radio. A huge welcome to Louisa Harland. Welcome. Oh, wait, let's give you a proper... There we go.
Woo! Oh, my God, you guys.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop.
You've come in to chat today
yeah.
about Derry Girls,
yeah.
which has been a bit of a surprise smash hit.
Definitely, for us as well. I mean, we love it, but we didn't know everybody else was going to love us, and we knew it was probably going to be enjoyed in Ireland,
yeah.
but to make the jump as well, we're delighted.
Well done.
For anyone who doesn't know what Derry Girls is about, if you want to just give a quick synopsis.
It is about five young people, four girls and a guy, set during the Troubles and the Noughties, about their lives. They're school kids. We're all 15, 16-year-olds, and in real life...
You look quite old, little.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, well, we're all 15, yeah. In real life as well.
Exactly. Yeah, I was like, oh, this is a very mature-looking girl.
Yeah,
do you mind if you put a school uniform on anyone, anyone looks a bit like a school kid.
Yeah, I think so.
We
could
pass, and we're nearly 30.
I mean, you need to... Shut up, Kevin. Do not tell...
I mean, we're only 21, we're like...
Don't tell a woman's age! Jesus!
I'm talking about myself, Johanna.
Yeah.
You're like 14.
I'm
okay.
well younger than you. Fuck off.
Oh, I'm 15, so.
Yeah, she's 15. I'm the same as her.
Johanna's 44, if anyone's asking.
Oh, my God. All right, get out. You're not coming back on. So, Derry Girls, love the trailer. I haven't been watching TV recently, so now I've seen the trailer now, and I'm like, actually, you know what? That is going to make me sit down and watch the television. And for something to make me do that is actually quite a lot.
The soundtrack is so good.
Yeah, well, as we were talking earlier in the show, I'm in love with like either late 80s early 90s is yeah. just my period yeah. of fun, so I'm loving it. So where did you film and how long for? And
we filmed in Belfast during the summer for 3 months thereabouts, and we had so much fun doing it.
And how did you get the role?
Just auditioned. Pretty long process, but yeah, we all auditioned, and then we had a lot of chemistry tests because it was pretty essential that all of us got on.
Yeah, because you're quite a little cliquey group.
Yeah, very
in
much
a story
so. So yeah, it's very lucky.
Before you got Derry Girls, what was your sort of acting history?
I'm from Dublin and I came to London to train.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to do theatre.
That's
so
brave for a 15-year-old. That's yeah. great. That's
did so you come on your own?
So
your
that would have made me 9 when I moved here to go to drama school.
Just like the youngest actress.
Just trying to work out the maths here, sorry. And came to drama school, and then I've just been plugging away at it, and I've been quite lucky this year, so happy days.
Where were you when you found out that you got the role? Because I always think that's quite a nice
yeah.
moment. Like, do you remember where you were?
Was
yeah,
it a phone call? Or?
Yeah, I know, but I was at my friend's house and we were about to go out, and it was annoying because I really wanted to be ridiculously hysterical on the phone to my parents.
But you can't.
But I had to play really cool.
Yeah, like, oh,
but
like,
were you allowed
just...
to let people know that you'd got the part, or was it all hush-hush?
No, I was allowed to...
I
yeah,
just like, I've got it!
Nobody said anything. Oh, I was literally... Yeah, so ringing the whole of Ireland.
Just ring anyone. Yeah. Hi, do you know... Hi, who is this? Yeah. Doesn't matter. I'm going to be in Derry Girls.
Exactly, but I had to play it so cool with my friends, so I had to just ring my mum and be like, hey, mum, yeah, you know that thing that I've been auditioning for months?
I've got it.
I've got it, no big deal. I'm just going for a few points.
21 pints later.
Yeah, literally. So yeah, delighted. And even better now that it's been received so well and we've just
yes.
been picked up for a second season.
I was going to ask, do you know yet about number two?
Yeah, so okay. literally after the first episode was aired, we got
yeah.
the call like after a couple of days. We were so
oh,
shocked.
Brilliant.
About it. That's so good.
So Derry Girls is set in Northern Ireland in 1994. What were you doing in 1994?
Well, I'm 15, so I wasn't born.
What did you do in 1994?
I
was probably learning to poop at that age. No,
really?
That's five.
When you
no,
were five?
Mate, no, tell a lie.
You probably were lying to people, Kevin.
Probably fair.
My parents had immigrated to Canada, so I was living in Canada in 1994.
I've always wanted to be Canadian.
That makes sense.
I know. I can, like, semi-say that I partly grew up there.
Yeah, I wish I was Canadian.
Yeah.
And Jewish.
All my old...
Yeah, welcome for two of the greatest things to be in life.
Can you make that happen for me?
We can ask Santa.
Thanks
you
so
never
much.
Know. Just
Thank
try
you.
Every year. Yeah, well, I was living in Canada.
Canada.
If you look back at my old VHSs and stuff, I've got, like, a proper strong Canadian accent.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Mommy! Yeah,
wasn't Canada colonised by the French, if I'm right?
Yes. Like, a really, like...
Long time ago.
A really brief kind of ratchet history of America and Canada. I believe that, like, the English
colonised
America,
French
Canada, Spanish down
Mexico.
I had French Canadian friends. I remember when I was a kid, they could speak French and I couldn't.
So do you know who can speak French? Cool. Completely off topic, and I'm sorry, but it just dropped my head. Bash the Entertainer. It's fluent in French. It shocked me. That was that
really?
In a little bar, and there was a French woman, and it went, I can't do it, but it just went.
Oh,
it just went off. Boom, 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 boom. I was like, what the freaking hell did that come
from? It's attractive, isn't it? When someone can just burst out in another language. You're like,
you like that. The other if I talk like this.
Not quite that, Kevin.
It's really warm in here now.
So just going back to Derry Girls, was really diverted. What was it like working with, like, a huge cast of young actors?
It was so fun.
Was it banter, or was it everyone?
It was banter
serious?
Every single day. No, it was just so fun. Everybody and the whole crew was Irish as well, and a lot of us don't live in Ireland. We've all kind of migrated to, like, London.
Yeah.
So it was nice to just go home and to be part of something.
Would you say you're all friends for life from this, or?
Definitely.
Is there anyone that you don't really like on set?
No, I love them. It's actually so boring because I've got
nothing.
Yeah,
no dramas.
There was nothing to talk about on set because we loved everybody.
Oh,
how boring is that?
No, it's good when you're working with people like that. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, Louisa, I would love to play a game with you if you would like to take part. It's movie quiz time. Okay, so you guys are going to be in your own teams.
Yep.
Would you like to create a buzzer, just a sound that you'd like to make? Okay, great. And that's Let's start.
One thing quickly. It's too late.
We're going straight in the game, babe.
Shite.
All right, okay. In which country was Arnold Schwarzenegger born? USA?
Austria.
Switzerland. Austria or Germany?
Oh, Austria.
Yep.
Austria.
That is correct.
Damn.
1 point to Kevin.
I feel like you
I forgot
get
mine.
That point.
Question two.
I got Kaka.
What is the first rule of Fight Club?
Kaka.
Do not
talk about Fight Club.
Second one to Kevin.
Fair, I'll let you have that one. The first one, no.
Okay.
I'm taking no prisoners, honestly.
Question number three.
It's been a year since
I've
been here.
I think my sound's too complicated.
Which folklore hero is portrayed by Russell Crowe in the 2010 film co-starring Cate Blanchett?
No idea.
King Arthur. Robin Hood, William Tell, Robert the Bruce. The answer is, in fact, Robin Hood.
Me? No, no.
Me? Okay.
I did not know that at all.
No, my mind went blank.
That was my time to come back.
And okay, so at the moment we've got, Kevin's got two. Nothing quite yet, so don't worry. Who won the Best Actor Oscar for the film The Pianist? Was it Russell Crowe, Kevin Spacey, Brad Pitt, Adrian Brody?
Meow.
Yep,
Adrian Brody.
It was. Well done.
Well done.
Well done.
Well done.
I feel like you knew that, but you thought I'm going to say
that. I have no idea.
He wouldn't know.
You should
right.
know then.
No
okay,
idea.
Would you like to continue?
Yeah. Preferably.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm still 1 point down.
You're still one point down.
The music makes it so intense.
I know,
well.
Right,
so
isn't it?
I'm getting an anxiety attack.
I'm just having...
Feeling anxious.
Okay. And right, here we go.
Right back in the game.
In the Twilight Saga, New Moon, what childhood friend does Bella reconnect with?
Taka! Oh, I don't know his name.
Is it...
Meow. No, I keep going with
Jay. John. Jacob.
Taka! Jacob.
Yes. Okay, it is neck and neck now on the movie quiz.
But I think I deserve that one. But I live there because I'm a gentleman. Let the lady have her time, you know? She's here for one
Listen,
time
if you're
only.
More of a Twilight fan, you're more of a Twilight fan.
Yeah,
that's fine.
It's true.
Okay, here we go. The final question. This is. Oh, we lost the music! Oh, it's suddenly not
is
so...
deadlock.
Scary with the music, is it?
Nope.
Should we start again?
We're
back into the
intensity.
Okay.
No pressure. There's no pressure at all. Game has just shut down again.
The game is totally... Technology
then we'll
is
just
failing.
Say, Derry wins this one.
Here we go. The final question for 100 million points.
Yeah.
Who plays Elizabeth Swann in Pirates of the Caribbean?
Taka!
Is it Mandy Moore?
Keira Knightley.
It is Keira Knightley.
Yeah!
It goes to Kevin.
I'm going to do my victory dance.
Fair enough.
Well done, Kevin. What is...
I
I don't know.
Just to see that dance was so
bad. Trajectory dance.
Did you do that?
Or ping pong.
I'm really okay. Used that.
Thank you so much, Louisa, for playing that. That was
no bother.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club on FUBAR Radio.
Right, we're joined in the studio now. Sorry, Tim.
That's good. We need to know these things.
Well, I find it really. I mean, all I was saying was. So we're joined in the studio by Tim Downey. But all I'm trying to say is that when I ask a question, you know, who is Jason King? Yeah. I just want an answer straight away so that I can get on with stuff. All right. We don't need to have a debate. I love this show because I've just found a gap in my knowledge and I can be a better person. Be a better fan club. Hello, Tim. How are you doing?
If you had to go for breakfast now, where would you go?
As in a place.
A place.
A place. I would probably just go something simple like a sausage sandwich on a bench. Oh, very, oh, not in the rain.
Served on
the
a rain. Bench.
Served on a bench. No plate. Just on the wood.
Found on a bench.
That's the dream.
That's okay. Right. Here's
if you found a sausage sandwich on a bench, would you eat it?
Absolutely not.
Do you know what?
There is absolutely no way.
Do you want to know something absolutely rancid about me? I went to university in Winchester, and on the way back from the pub one night, I think the World Cup was on. Me and my mate Ben took a shortcut through a park. I was so poor at university, I hadn't eaten in days.
Don't caveat it.
I could always afford booze and fags, but sure. I could never afford food. Right?
Sure.
We were walking. It was like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. It was dawn, and we went a shortcut through a park, and we saw next to a children's play park, like swings and slide and everything, there was a bench, and next to the bench was a white plastic bag filled with an entire Chinese takeaway for three, right? And we looked in the bag, and we had like a moment where we're like, of course, we're not going to eat it. And 3 seconds later, we were both knuckle deep in chow mein, just fucking shoving it into our mouths. It's like it was like there was like 5 boxes of food, and we were just shoveling it in.
Yeah.
It was the most delicious. I felt like a proper hunter.
That's right.
It's the most delicious Chinese meal I've ever eaten. It's so good. But it is a fairly bleak portrait that you're painting there, Tim, of a sausage sandwich on a bench.
And that's what you got from that story. refusal to eat a sausage sandwich.
I'm judging you.
And never once did it cross your mind. Why did they leave it there?
No. Well, it did, obviously. And years later, I was just thinking, we were so hungry. I've got to tell you, I was a lot thinner back then. We were so hungry. It was just shoveling it in. It was chop suey. It was chicken chop suey. I would never order that either.
I bet you're furious.
But it was delicious. I was furious.
They got my order wrong.
No. Well, I wouldn't have ordered this. But you'd be absolutely good, wouldn't it? Oh, it's one of those lot who orders chips as well. Who orders chips with a Chinese takeaway? So you're an outlander as well.
Yes, I am.
Oh, right. Yeah, we can talk to you about that. But what I really wanted to know was you've got a part in Transformers The Last Knight.
Yes, I do.
A small part?
Yeah, it's a little bit more than a cameo, shall we say.
Sure. I haven't.
But nice.
I haven't seen any of the Transformers films since the first. I think I saw the second one.
Same here. I've seen 1 and 2 of Transformers.
Yeah. Right. What was that? Was it Michael Bay?
Michael Bay.
So you've been Michael directed
Bay.
By Michael Bay?
I've been directed
Bay.
By Michael Bay.
What's he like?
What was that like?
It's terrifying.
Sure.
It's terrifying.
Is he terrifying?
He's terrifying.
Is this the one with TJ Miller in it?
I have no idea.
No,
have you seen The Last Knight?
Have I seen The Last Knight? I've seen up to my bit.
Like, okay. I've seen Transformers 1 and 2.
Because TJ Miller is a comedian.
Yeah.
And he was in one of the Transformers films. And Age of Extinction. He was in Age of Extinction. And Michael Bay would just shout at him and say, be funny. Yeah. Why aren't you funny? We hired you to be funny.
That's pretty much what he was saying to me. I was playing a polo player. And they said in the casting, can you ride a horse? I can ride a horse. Of course I can ride a horse. You know, I can ride a horse in the sense of I can get on a horse and I can know what I'm doing. When someone goes, hello, my name's George, I'm your horse wrangler, I'm going to take you from here over to here. We'll do it a few times and it's fine. No loud noises and everyone's far away. So, yeah, I can ride a horse. And it gets closer and I go for a couple of auditions. And then they ring up my agent and say, Michael's very excited about this. Oh, great, great. Obviously, for the polo scene, hang on, I can run a I can't play fucking polo. Because that's quite dangerous. Like, oh, because he really wants you to play polo for the... Okay, we'll call you back. So they get me to this stables beforehand for a two-week intensive polo training. They fly a polo player, an Argentine polo player over to teach me how to look like I know how to play polo. So I'm genuinely terrified. He was saying, like, you just take, don't touch the reins. It's not a steering wheel. It's not a car. Don't touch the reins. Just lift your hands up, and they would smack the horse, and you would race across this field, going,
what are you doing with your hands?
What are you? Well, it's all, you know, core.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be all in the legs and all in the core, so you can ride like some sort of, you know, duke or something like
wow.
that.
Wow, and presumably with your hands, you're supposed to be holding a massive mallet.
Absolutely, and your weight moves backwards and forwards, so you're not supposed to be holding onto anything, because
so
it won't
your
it
fucking
won't
thighs are gripping.
Oh,
gripping
yeah.
on.
From literally a standing start.
Yeah.
Going, oh, God, horrible, you know, and you God. Cannot walk. You just go, oh, I can't do this again.
When
yes,
you get off the horse
two.
In the evenings, have you been gripping it so much that you're, yeah. you've got dead legs?
You get that kind of wobble in the legs where you go, oh, God, God, I can't stand. It's like you got off a boat.
Well, that makes me feel sick.
So you had this intensive...
Intense 2 weeks.
Sorry, just before you carry on. So wasn't the character called Polo Player?
Yeah.
So you knew it was a polo player when you were auditioning?
Oh, absolutely. But usually with these things, they say, can you ride a horse? Yes, as in I can get sure, on a horse and sure. kind of ride into a shot, sort of like pull up the horse, yes, deliver the lines in safety, and then ride off. Because sure. there's George in the background waving his hand saying, you can come over here, come over here. But on this, they literally just kind of put you on a horse. And when we came to filming it, they kind of put you on a horse I'd never met before, and I'd never been on a polo pony, and they're like Ferraris. In that they're much smaller, compact, and they are like, oh my God, I'm playing polo! Oh my God, I'm playing polo!
So it's a different sort of horse.
A completely different horse. The horse they trained me on was the horse from the Lloyd's Bank ads.
Oh.
The black horse from the Lloyd's Bank.
Yeah. That's a celebrity horse.
Absolutely. And it knew it. It was very relaxed.
That'd be like, that'd
very
be like,
respectful.
Be like riding Benji.
Yeah.
That film never came out of cinemas, did it?
Carry on, yeah.
Yeah, so they put you on this, and it was with the Oxford and Cambridge polo teams, who had no idea that this ringer had only had 2 weeks' worth of training. So they were like, this is absolute japes, and were just going. They were literally playing polo. So then I would kind of come into the midst of that, and they were banging into you, going, oh, yes, it's great. And you're going, for God's sake, I will die. I will die if you touch me.
You can die falling off a horse.
You can literally die falling
and
off a horse.
And on top of that, you've got to act for
yeah.
Michael Bay.
And you've
got to
be funny. So
this is horrible.
So I got on the horse. So he comes over and he says, okay, so this is what the scene is. Okay, you want to go all the way. You've got to be fast. Okay, you're going to be fucking fast. All the way out, all the way around, all the way around. And you've got two drones coming around. There's a Ferrari with a camera arm on it. It's going to be tracing you all the way around. You've got to hug the... There's a massive grandstand with about 500 people having tea in it. I want you really, really close. You come right up to that. And then while you'll get really close, the main girl, she's going to fall off the horse. The horse is going to bolt. Then the referee's going to get the horse, going to bring the horse back. The girl's going to get back, get on the horse. Then you come in and you better be fucking funny. You better be fucking... Because if you're not, I'm going to digitally remove your ass from my movie, yeah? Smacks the horse, boom, we're off. And that was the first take. And you're going, oh, my God. And as you're going round, you're thinking, okay, just survive. And then as you just kind of come round, just cresting the top of the grandstand, you think, I've forgotten the line. I don't know what the line is. What's the line? Okay. And luckily, because all the other horses are stopping, the horse goes, oh, okay, we'll stop playing. So it will stop through no mechanics of my own to then deliver the line. Okay. Oh, God. And it just sort of stops. And everyone, he comes over and goes, okay, you're very funny. It's very funny. You're funny. You're a funny guy. You're a funny guy.
Oh, my God.
But we're doing it again. Go. It smacks the horse. Boom. And we're off again.
But the second time is easier.
Slightly easier. But I'm having to kind of shout to the guy on the other horse going, don't hit me. I'm just a learner. I'm just a learner. Please, dear God. Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry about that. Don't worry about that. You're going, is that good? I don't understand what you're saying. And then it was fine. Then you would kind of work out, okay, we're going to do it like this and kind of map it out. But those first takes were terrifying.
Spartacus, like having to do that, that tiny little scene with all those extra... But that's horrible. That sounds...
It was terrifying.
Horrible.
It was
with the Michael Bay film, you could have said, could we not have a digital horse? And I'll sit on there. Just put me in... I'll be in a room somewhere.
Put me somewhere in Elm Street.
Yeah.
And I can just mimic it.
Michael, we all know you're going to edit the fuck out of this scene anyway. Can we do it in bits?
Yes.
There's no way that he's going to have a shot in one of his films that's more than 3 seconds long. So just fucking calm down, mate.
And if I know Michael Bay, he would have taken that very well. If I said, Michael, a couple of things. I've had a little, me and the boys, I've had a couple of, we've had a bit of a chat.
Fucking hell. That reminds me of the time I did an advert where I got there and they said, you've got to speak in Polish. And I was like, when would I have learnt Polish? They flew me out to Poland, and when I got there, they said, I overheard them say that he'll be talking in Polish. And I was like, what the fuck? All my auditions are in English. But, you know, that was a surprise. Your character was called Polo Player. You're kind of unforgivable.
Still a surprise.
I can see. Why would you not imagine that would be CGI or something there?
Well, of course.
Yeah. You'd just go, it'd probably be on
CGI a... goes on the robots.
Yeah, but like there's CGI and everything now, isn't there?
Yeah, but which Transformers film was this? The Last Night.
The Last
Five,
Night.
Yeah, the fifth.
Five.
The fifth one.
I think that's the one,
there?
Isn't it? Where
is there six?
Is it King Arthur's a Transformer? Not in that one or something?
That's exactly it. Yeah, that's King Arthur, Stonehenge,
and Stephen Hawking is a Transformer or something. Is it that one?
Could well be. Could well be. I think Anthony Hopkins pops
up in
it as well.
I've heard it's a very strange film, but I'm up for it.
Do it. Do it. It's probably on Amazon.
Amazon Prime, probably. Like everything.
Well, I'm not sure. This is no comment on you, but I don't know if I can see another Transformers film.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville on FUBAR Radio.
We have our guest of the day in, and he is a legend. He is an icon. And his name is General Levy. Hey. Spirited round of applause, Daya. How are you doing, sir?
I mean, incredible.
Yes! Done it! Do you know what? That might have been one of the first tapes that my sister bought and let me play, like, myself. You know what I mean? My sister never used to let me touch her music collection.
Yeah, it's deep,
but
it's deep.
That was such a slapper, that song, that I had free reign over, you know what? Because she just didn't mind hearing it at any time.
Any time of the day.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
I was slapping that in nappies, bro. I was slapping that.
Trust me.
It's definitely a classical tune, man.
It is. Do you know what?
It's I can't complain.
Really, really, really do. As far as, like you said, classic songs go, songs that have had appeal as wide, you know... songs that have brought kind of cultures together.
Yeah,
songs that you can still play at a wedding reception.
Songs that if you can't dance, you can dance to this tune.
Yes, right? Songs that you can hear at a wedding, songs that you can hear at carnival.
You can make up any dance to this tune.
It
crossed over like generations and cultures and creeds. When that tune came out, it crossed the energy in the song really reached to our community and other communities outside.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was a time when raving, fully raving, was still a thing.
Everybody recognizes madness. So when you hear a mad tune, that guy's a nut. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's going to go, I am the incredible. Who is this guy? You know what I mean? Even when I first heard the song back and they mixed it, I had to play it every day.
Because I want to know from the horse's mouth, what inspired that? What inspired that? Like, was it the music itself? Was it the tune itself? Or was that a thing that General Levy had? You know, like D-Double's got... his thing.
It was my thing to stand out amongst my peers and my other MCs around me who were busting out at the time. We used to make tapes.
Yeah.
So when we made a tape, everybody wanted to stand out and have a little style or do something which was different to kind of, it was something that came as a necessity to her kind of stand out.
Right.
And it was something that was developed. It wasn't so potent at first. It was more like don't get everybody come on, that's like it did general Levy imino star imino spiegel pandi mello everybody come and dance, everybody feel nice and ivory, it's general Levy pandi mello, you know what I mean? It was like that was the original don't get digi and then I came with after that ikop slabba dabba dab, everybody come catch the ikop slabba dabba dab, everybody come catch the ikop 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 ikop, and that was doing the thing in the hood.
Yeah,
in that come from Northwest London house and was having like the dance hall and Mr.
Mick
in the community, and then I came with the I am the what I began to get a bit more confident with it,
right?
So I got to put a little bit more energy into it. It became I am the wild general, me are the wild general, and then I still go General Levy, just I come like a nuclear bomb when they come for a ramp, but every time I read them, by that time the place mash up.
Yeah,
and then you just have to sing for long.
Right, yeah. Nanny started a round of applause there.
Amazing. Mash up the
show. Had to see that one.
That's how it started.
That is the evolution right there of General Levy's famous hiccup. Is it fair to call it that?
It was called the hiccup.
The hiccup, okay.
Or they used to call it, my friends used to say to me, we used to be in a party, they said, General, give them the noise, give them the noise, give them the noise, give them the noise.
I like that. I like that when you've got so much faith in the guy from your crew, the MCs, you're like, bun this guy. Yeah. Show them what you can do now. I love that.
Big up Tiggy, man.
Because you grew up, obviously, on doing a like sound system MCing from 14 in Northwest London, like you said. So by the time MBeat came to you with the incredible beat, this famous hiccup had been refined.
It had definitely. He'd heard of me before he approached me. I'd already been on the circuit, the reggae circuit, for about, I'd say from about like 4 years, 1990, 89, 90. I had my first proper hit in the reggae scene about 1993.
Yeah.
92, 93.
Yeah.
And then, so it was building up, and they were using, in Jungle, they were using samples of Buju Bantana, you know, different tune, good looking girl, and doing the job. So they were using the samples, and one of my acapellas of Heat, which had came out in about 92, 93, was being used by MBeat in Jungle. He'd been mixed it up into the Jungle. So I'd heard about this, and I couldn't, even when I heard the track, I couldn't even recognize it too tough. He'd mixed it up so much, but people would say, no, that's
of course. So both of your reputations preceded each other by the time you met anyway. So you'd heard of MBeat by the time you met him, and vice versa, obviously.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And then so then after Incredible, a massive hit that really put Jungle on the map as a sort of mainstream music, really. Yeah. An album came. Yeah.
Well, from MB, basically, after we did Incredible, he went off, he signed to XL Records. He did work with Jamiroquai. He did a whole lot of stuff. He did an album called Knowledge. That was MB stuff. I did other projects, but not necessarily Jungle. I went back in kind of into the reggae.
Yeah.
Into the reggae thing. Now, after I did Incredible, I was just basically back to doing my usual stuff. But Incredible was so powerful, it became part of my show, took over my whole reggae show, basically. Yeah. So even when I would do a reggae show, people would be waiting for that tune.
And I'd
built up like 9 years in the reggae scene, got awards and everything, but that all kind of got pushed to the side.
Okay.
When I got Incredible, it was... I knew what a real hit, hit was.
Did you see it as a bit of a double-edged sword then? Were you kind of yearning to, like, play all the stuff that, like you said, you'd been working on for years prior to, and releasing for years prior to Incredible? Did you kind of, I think resent is a strong word, but did you kind of start to feel some type of way towards Incredible as a song?
That was a good tune. I didn't feel no way. It was a hit. It was a hit.
You hear a lot of people kind of talk about the biggest song in their catalogue.
Yeah.
Kind of be, you know, pass. People... Or just people shouting for even when they're trying to perform
other songs, of course. I can't lie. I have been in situations where I'm saying, like, I do have more songs.
Right.
But at the same time, Incredible was a tune that I did from my heart. Mm. So it wasn't like a song that was manufactured.
That's true.
I can recreate that vibe. Mad the world of them, I spin them like any time of the day. Yeah. 6 o'clock in
that's
the morning.
That's actually my favourite line
from the
song.
Mad the world. Oh, you know what I mean?
Spinning like a
windmill. New time for them, go to them. So... because it was from my heart, I can do it anytime. So it's not hard for me to do. You know what I mean? So big up MB, big up all the Jungle. It's massive. It was a cornerstone. I didn't expect it to be as big as it was and to come as legendary around the place as it is. But I'm happy that it has. And sometimes just be happy that you have a hit. Even if it's all over playing over the place and you're tired of singing it every week. But you have to give thanks. Because some people have 10 albums and don't have one song which is as memorable as a song that me and MB have together. But so I give thanks.
Right. That definitely lasted a test of time, man.
Absolutely.
Definitely. France was always good to me. But France is a very... They love the reggae music out there. So because I had a big reggae catalogue from before I did the Jungle, a lot of the train spotters in Europe and in Asia, Japan and these places, were very interested in my old school catalogue.
Okay.
For instance, when I went to these places, just to kind of... to go back to the last question, they would do the opposite. And they're asking for some different songs.
Of course, I love that.
You know what I mean? Remember the roots, remember the culture, some different songs that have Time Dread, Professional Ganja Smoker. And then they're not
I love
looking,
that title. Yeah, love that title. Should be a thing.
Make some t-shirts, man. But yes, I think that that was good for me. That kind of brought me down to earth to realize, don't believe the hype. Because it was a very, even though that tune, they want to hear that tune, but they still want to hear their traditional General Levy, the reggae stuff, and the stuff that I built up.
That's good to know.
My catalogue. So
that's
that was
good to know.
Yeah.
The Jack Mate Show on FUBAR Radio.
We are joined by the lovely Callum McSwiggan. How are you, mate?
I am good. How are you? Applause. Yeah.
Nothing but a welcome on FUBAR. Nothing but. You are a YouTuber, is that right?
I am indeed a YouTuber. Yeah.
Nice. Do you have? Is that your full time job?
I wish it was. No, it is not. I wish it was. No, I talk about like LGBT stuff, and I do a lot of sex education, and yeah, that's my bag.
So this is a little segment entitled Gay 101, in which Callum is. You're just going to teach us some stuff.
I'm very excited to teach you guys. But wait, what? I mean, are we talking? You're all completely straight. You've never had a bit of experimentation in the past.
Jack likes a drunken kiss with a man.
Do you now?
I don't think there's anything wrong with
You've
that.
Had a three-way kiss, haven't you?
No, it wasn't a three-way kiss.
Oh, it was three kisses separately.
It was three guys in a room just getting with each other at different times.
That sounds great. Where was my invite?
It was, I don't know, like, I don't think there's anything...
There's nothing wrong with it. I just find it
so bizarre. You get, like, all awkward.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it is awkward, but I'm openly straight.
Yeah.
So can I not do that?
You're just comfortable with your masculinity and your sexuality.
You're just a bit curious.
And if you just want to make out with a man, you know, you just go ahead and
Jack,
enjoy yourself.
I'll use that cliche.
If you're curious, explore your curiosity.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay, no, it's fine.
But in terms of sex, you've never ever been down any of that road?
No.
No.
Okay, so shall we have a little...
No.
Yeah, let's go down that road.
So shall we talk a little bit about anal?
Yeah, start
well,
with anal.
Well, actually, I feel like, as straight men, you're not going to...
Perfect.
You're not going to receive anal.
Right.
But you may give it to a lady.
Right.
So it might not harm to kind of learn about the kind of receiving progress is.
Right.
We have gone very, the three of us are very sheepish now.
I've never seen us three so quiet.
Mum's listening.
Adam, this is the stuff you want to be recording. Yeah, shitting ourselves over here.
Anal. So now the ass is very, very tight.
Right.
So the first thing you're going to want to do is loosen that up.
Right.
How do you go about doing that?
Well, first thing, you need to be very, very relaxed. So a bit of nice music like we've got now. Light a few candles. Off we go.
Maybe incense?
Incense.
Does that actually work, though?
You need to be relaxed, because if you're not relaxed, then you're going to, like, tense up and all your muscles are going to tense up.
But I think even, like, this... Even if a girl was putting something up there, like, I think even if there was candles on and slow music, look at them looking at me, and I was really relaxed, as soon as something came that way, I would hunch up.
But that's not, if you're expecting it, just relax, unwind.
You need to, like, embrace it. Think of it as, like, a tasty treat coming your way.
Never been described as that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Right, so we're getting relaxed. Deep breathing.
You're nice and relaxed. Your legs are maybe a little bit spread.
Right.
Jesus.
You're going to need a little bit of lubricant on there.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to want to jump in with something big. So you're going to want to, you know, work your way up. Maybe start with a cheeky little finger.
Right.
Maybe a pinky.
Yeah, a little pinky.
Yeah.
Then maybe an index finger. Thumb, if you're feeling brave.
Jesus Christ.
Well, they call me Tom Thumb, so they don't. Go.
But there's an amazing little trick for anal.
Right, let me get the pen.
Make some notes. So it's a very, very tight muscle, and to get it to relax and open up, if you tense it really, really hard as you can, and then release, it will naturally and slowly, gradually open up, and it will allow things inside.
Like an elastic band. Like, imagine if
you put an elastic band up there. No, that's a bit weird.
You can. Can you?
Yeah, if you want. No, I'm not.
It's the authority.
Can I?
Am I allowed?
Could you ever relax too much?
No. I don't think so.
That's a genuine question.
Why? And it just opens up and just...
I think if you're so relaxed that you put in, like, elastic bands and, you know, whatever you can find around the house, then...
Have you ever relaxed too much?
So we've relaxed.
Yeah. We've relaxed. Chilled out.
Yeah.
Now what?
So, well, imagine... let's make it female just for a moment. Mm. So you guys feel a little bit more comfortable. Mm. So
no,
imagine,
we're comfortable.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
Imagine you're going
to
have anal.
I'm a bit too relaxed.
You're going to have anal with a female and, like, you want her to, you know, relax, and it might be a little bit big for her or him to manage. So, you know, get them to really tense down, and then it will open up, and then you can, like, slide in, like a slip and slide.
Like a slip and slide?
Yeah.
Right. So it's a tasty treat going into a nice slip and slide.
Exactly.
Right.
It's not a scary thing.
No.
It's going to feel wonderful.
Do you
boys.
Think that's another, like, when people are tense, that's another reason why it's called being uptight? Because they're all tight.
See
that, guys.
Is there such thing as the male G spot?
Yes, often referred to as the P spot. And it's like if you put two fingers inside and push down and kind of make the come hither motion.
Right.
I'm doing it right now. I know nobody can see.
But we're all hithering. We're all hithering.
I'll clip that. Send that to me. Send that to me. That's mine.
So just do that inside and you should feel it and you should feel that it feels good.
What,
give it a go, boys. It's going to, like, open up your whole world to a whole new world of pleasure. You're missing out.
Yeah, yeah. But the question is, can you ever be too relaxed? Comes back to the claw.
Did you have to kind of, like, because I'm assuming you have engaged in anal.
Indeed engaged in the anal.
Was it, like, level by level, or did you just go straight in?
I dived in at the deep end. I was very brave.
Oh.
Very, very brave.
But no,
I had candles. It was fine. It's fine.
Was it sore?
No, honestly, it did not hurt at all my first time. Not
really?
One little bit. It's such a myth that it has to hurt. If you do it properly and slowly, you know, you've got to take your time, you know. None of this, like, quick down an alleyway. You need to give it at least a good 45-minute warm-up.
Ooh, class me fact. Literally.
45 minutes?
45-minute warm-up.
Cancel that gym membership.
Jesus. Oh, God, I'm really intrigued.
I am. I'm finding this very intriguing.
But I don't know if I could bring myself to do it.
What, as in...
Why are you looking at me? When
you Sarah Wills tonight. Spare 45
could
minutes.
Yeah. Could you go for it? What? Do you reckon you could do that, though?
What's next, Callum?
You could do pegging, right?
Pegging?
Pegging.
What's pegging?
Do you not know what pegging is?
Let's
learn some more.
Well, this isn't even gay anymore. We've just gone off that. But it's where a woman puts a strap on so that she can be the top partner and the man will be the
How did you say it as if he's like, yes, I haven't done pegging.
You've not done pegging?
No,
I've had girls go near that region. I've freaked
panicked.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
He got uptight.
Have you engaged in intercourse with a woman?
I have not.
Is that something that...
Disappointment.
Would you?
Because
some gay men are like, yeah, I probably would.
Yeah,
but,
like, I feel like sexuality is a spectrum, and I'm as far down the spectrum as it comes.
Oh,
like,
really?
I don't think... Like, little Callum wouldn't be able to, you know, get happy if there was a lady friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It'd be a struggle.
I don't know if we was in a position with a man, you can imagine we'd freak out.
Yeah.
And, would you be like that if you was with a woman, or would you kind of be like not a bit nonchalant? Like,
I think I'd be okay until the vagina came out, and then I wouldn't know what to do with it.
It's a scary process.
I'd run away from it. Yeah.
Mm. So you're kind of like the male version of Lacey Green.
I mean, that's a compliment, but sure, let's go for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a compliment. Have you seen Lacey Green?
That's a big compliment.
What, so is that the one that was auto-playing after Tom?
Stinky vagina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not she hasn't got one, she's talking about it.
He's selling it to you, isn't he?
He really is. Stinky vagina. He is.
But we'll see in Eye of Mordor. Yeah.
Any more questions?
Well, one of the videos was penis-sized, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did you get a lot of feedback on that? Was there a lot of people?
Oh, so many people click that because everyone's insecure about the penis size, aren't they?
Mm.
Like,
he looked around all of us. Like, oh,
trying to be
guys.
Trying to be as perky as we can. Where's that point come from?
But the average size penis, like around the world and in this country, is way, way lower than you would think.
What is it?
What, 9 inches?
I think it's like.
Fuck you! That'll be the end of that, mate.
I think in this country it's 5.1 inches. So. Yeah, a lot of people are like, oh, the average size is like 8 inches.
5.1.
I think so, yeah.
I told you, Fiona. Nah, she's happy with it.
She has to be.
Yeah. No other options.
Yeah, when
So, no, are you insecure about the size of your penis, William?
No, I'm all right. I'm happy about it. It is what it is.
I've got to do what it is.
I am. You happy with yours?
I'm fine with my dick, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Looking at me. Why are you looking
why are you
at me?
Why not? You should put if you got stomach.
Have you got penis envy over there?
No, I don't. No, I'm fine with it. But I
just a bit ugly. Like, imagine you have an ugly dick.
I just think it can always be a bit bigger, no matter how big you are. No?
You know, the best sex I ever had was also with the guy with the smallest penis.
You're just saying that.
No, real.
Callum, you're just a nice guy.
I swear on my life. Swear on my life. I've also had terrible sex
masturbation,
with guys with
was
small
it?
Penises.
Yay. Bazinga!
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
I'm joined by Johnny and Scotty of the Manor. Oh, yeah, Danny's here!
Manchester Square now as well. First year.
Danny's here.
Tell him I just tricked him.
That's
good. How are you guys?
Is that nice?
Yeah, of course it was
nice. We ain't starting with a freestyle.
No.
So I just ran down the hill for nothing.
Yeah.
Oh. Nice one.
Where did you go?
I went for a fag, but I went a long way.
You
couldn't get out that door.
Oh, babe, sorry about that.
Oh, dear.
Do you remember the last time you came to the studio and you didn't actually arrive at all?
That's why I came early. I was first here today, wasn't I?
Yeah, you smashed it. I'm very proud of you. Guys, hold on. Scotty's birthday yesterday.
Yeah.
Happy WTF.
Birthday. I know. I didn't even wish you happy birthday, I don't think.
Neither of you did.
No. I knew you got Alden. There was a WhatsApp. It don't count when you
mate,
do it on WhatsApp.
That group chat that I want a phone call. At least a personal WhatsApp.
No, well, then even after that, I rang you and I was in a bit of a rush.
You rang me to talk business.
Talk business. But I said, happy birthday,
no.
Scott, anyway.
Yeah,
when we've been up on whatever for how long?
Yeah, I did. That was the first one. You didn't even say thank you.
You've got to wake up on your birthday and get phone calls.
There's always next year.
There's always next year. Yeah. I can't believe that. I'm so sorry that I didn't, but I didn't know.
That's all right.
Happy birthday. You didn't even put it on your Instagram or anything.
People make two big deals out of birthdays. It happens every year. I hate birthdays.
No, shut up. Birthdays.
These are Scrooge birthdays.
I don't like being forced into a motive. There's about 45 birthdays a year. You can't plan your own nights out.
There's a 45
I had to go Craig David for a 30th. I had to pay 40. I ain't paid him yet, but I paid £40 for a ticket.
But you haven't paid £40 for a ticket.
Are you gonna?
No, I'm not going to play. No, because we couldn't even see anything. I was at the back of it. It was like, it was a noose. Nice one, Mark. Happy
birthday. Not like Craig David concerts like that.
No, I don't. Look. No, I've been and seen him. He's good. He's good at a festival. He's good at House Fest. But no.
He's good in a small, intimate thing.
It's better when it's a big, mad thing. I'm at the back. I'm behind Sheila singing her lungs out. Like, I can't see nothing.
Do love Sheila, though.
Yeah, she was a lovely girl. She's a lovely girl.
So we're going to play a game now. It's called Shit or Hit, and I'm going to play you little clips of songs, and I'd like you to tell me whether you think they're shits or hits. But I want to know why. So is it because you hate that person, or you love that person, or is it because you just don't like the song? So we'll kick it off with Noel Gallagher, I think, and the High Flying Birds.
Ooh. My mate.
It's John's mate. Yeah,
it's my mate. Yeah.
Your man, is he?
Yeah, he's my mate. He's a good mate of mine. I'm going to see you match with him in December.
Are you going, yeah?
Yeah, I'm excited you're going down with
him. Oh, and I know what you're going to say to this song then. So have a listen. This is Holy Mountain.
Heard it already.
Beg.
I don't know if I recognised him in that.
Right, okay. Do you know what? He's a mate, but I've got to be honest. His new stuff ain't been great. He knows, but he knows that. He said he's going to be coming back with some better stuff soon.
You told him.
Yeah, I told him.
Should be a good pal and be honest with him.
He goes to John when he wants like to see if he thinks the song's good or not.
He'll go to me. At the moment, his brother's out doing him. He'll know what I mean when I say that. But he's got some good stuff coming.
Hold on. Why does he ring you when he needs to like check his music?
Because he's a great songwriter.
I'm a great songwriter.
Yeah, no, I know that.
No, it's literally because of that. It was because he was like, listen, you know, I want to hear about your opinion on this rift. I remember him saying, I was like,
rift.
That ain't great.
It's a rift.
Who's he falling out with?
A guitar riff.
No, it's a riff, John. Riff. It's R-I-F-F.
Well, we call it riffs. Real songwriters call it riffs.
So how did you strike up this friendship with Noel Gallagher then?
Brit Awards. We had a good drink. We had a little chat about, I was telling him a bit about rap music, South London rap music. He was telling me about Manchester in the 90s.
Oh, that's it.
Struck up a really great friendship from there. And now he just shouts me for a bit of opinions on his new stuff.
He's a nice person, actually.
No. Yeah, no, he is. No, honestly, that was the first and only time I met him, and he is a super, super nice
guy. He don't like pictures either, but he took a picture of you.
He took a picture of me. He told me I was a truth, that's why.
Didn't he ask you for the smudge?
Yeah, no, he asked me. He said, oh, you do a bit of rap, do you? So I was sweet. I'll have a picture with him. Go on, manager, get a picture.
That's cute. I think I've seen that picture, actually.
Yeah.
So you and him are best friends, but you're not sure that his music...
I'll be straight out. I don't like that. And I like the first High Flying Birds album, but I don't like that at all. So sorry, Noel.
Boys, what do you think?
I'll go with John.
No, I'll go with John. I sound all right.
Yeah, don't sound like Noel.
I was on the fence, but...
So it's a hit for Scotty.
Yeah.
And a shit for you too.
It's a bit shit. I was trying to like it because I like him, but I was just...
You don't have to.
Plus, he's John's power, so I feel a bit guilty if I don't like it, so I'll give him a bit of props.
Okay, at least you got one out of three, though, so, you know, you can't have everything.
You think it's a hit? You actually think that's a hit?
I don't think it's shit.
Yeah, so I've been just saying, I don't think it's a hit.
It's a bit.
Can we have or?
No.
Yeah, a bit.
All right, it's got to be shit. It's got to be shit.
No, shit. We'll go shit.
Is it three shits now?
Nah, bollocks. I'm not being swayed. Two on one.
Yeah. Okay, I think I probably agree. It doesn't sound like him.
No. Honestly, it's not.
But if you didn't know it was him, would you be less judgmental about it?
No.
Because it's Noel, you think it's going to be groundbreaking.
No.
That's an interesting question.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm. You're so good at this, Scotty. You should become a radio host.
Well, I'm trying.
Yeah, this is your this is your moment.
It's your audition. You're a producer.
Hiya! Okay, so up next we've got Khalid with Young, Dumb, and Broke. This is doing very well at the moment.
We're just young, dumb, and broke, but we still got love to give while we're young, dumb. Young, young, dumb, and broke. Young, dumb. Young, dumb, and broke.
So what do we think of Khalid?
I'm going to go see him in February, actually. I'm going with Mrs. to go see him. My Mrs. loves Khalid.
You think that's a big tune, yeah?
Banger.
Certified banger.
Oh, I love it.
He's fantastic. He's a wise songwriter beyond his years. He's only 19 or something.
And you know what he's doing with
he's really young.
Like the brand, the whole little American Dream branding and that. He had the best song on the Calvin album, in my opinion, as
well. We're talking about this one song, though, this particular
album. No, we're talking about the artist as a whole.
Nice shit or hit.
Yeah, but
I think that connects with the youth today. He's a young songwriter, very gifted guy, and I think it connects.
But Young, Dumb and Broke, he's young, but he's quite intelligent and obviously got a bit of reddies about him.
Yeah, he's trying to steal our brand.
Don't know about that.
That was our brand 5 years ago.
So what are we saying, shit or hit?
Hit.
Shit for me again.
Danny says shit.
I say hit. He's a hit. He's top 100 million
streams.
It's only a hit if you say it is.
I looked at the UK top 40 chart. It's been here 20 weeks, so yeah, it's a hit.
Yeah, it's big. He came out of nowhere as well. Yeah. I mean, I guess he is 19, so it's like his first thing.
He's only 19.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you said.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll give him a hit then.
Give him a hit. Jesus Christ.
Aw, it is Christmas almost.
Encourage the youth, Dan.
Yeah, big up the youth.
Big up the youth.
Well, I agree, and I think the final one is another young'un who you guys are fans of anyway. We were just having a little chit-chat about her. She's been on the show a few times, and this is her brand-new single, Decline, Ray, featuring Mr. Easy, who's a lovely, jubbly guy as well. Good girl, baby. I was always there for you.
Scotty, I'm going to have a bullseye with you now. This is in the top 10 by January.
It's not number one. In my opinion. You said certified number one.
Oh, right, okay. I might have been a bit strong.
It will go top 10. I think the chorus, using the cover and the chorus, was genius. Light Ray, lovely girl, great artist.
Voice of an angel.
As a complete record, I don't know if it's a number one.
We got a tune with Ray, and she probably forgot about it now.
We need to hold her to that before this goes number one.
Yeah, yeah. We got a tune with Ray, it's a banger. This is a banger as well. Very clever, smart bit of writing. Jinjin probably was involved in some capacity.
Don't know. I know that they definitely work together, don't they?
Yeah.
She brought her down.
I should know that, but
we were doing a little. So we came in the studio, and she literally walked in. We had a hook, and she said, "I nearly cried." Like, literally, it was the best I've ever heard someone sing in front of a room full of... She's young as well.
She's a room full of people,
all snouting, and she's...
Is she from South London, I mean, she?
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's why she could deal with
obviously.
It.
Obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. Top girl.
She's wise beyond her years.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a resounding hit then, I think, from everybody,
Well done, Ray.
That's it, yeah.
We love Ray, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
She's a babe, and that's a good song. Also, I think it's... Did you know... This is something you probably do know, because you're music aficionados, but Dua Lipa was the first number one from a woman since Adele. So it's actually, I think, a lot more difficult for a woman, single woman... On, as in a solo performer, not single, as in not got a boyfriend.
She keeps declining. There we go. Put me on her PR team.
I think it's actually difficult for solo women to get to number one.
Yeah.
So it's even more difficult as a woman, and she's
weird,
smashing it.
Oh, yeah. Rita Ora.
It's weird.
Usually, they do it. It's always like as a feature on a big DJ's thing.
100%.
Or, you know what it is? You know, I had this argument with Elle. I said, they don't. With girls, I don't think a lot of the time they allow them to do their personality. They either go down the sex route or the sad, I've been whatever, and I don't think there's enough.
Whereas I think Ray is, and all the girls,
a personality.
And also a lot of the girls, like Mabel and Dua Lipa, like a lot of them are bringing the vibes of...
They are now.
It's not what it was. Remember the time when you had Kate Nash, Amy Winehouse... Lily was out. You had that era of, you know,
big
women,
characters,
big charismatic women that were making bangers. We might be getting back to that, because if even it's across the scene. Yes. Look at Maya Jama now. Maya Jama is, do you know what I mean? Is the most, you know, personable and charismatic. And it seems like she started a bit of a wave.
I was talking about that the other day. I was saying you have to, like, doing a radio show. You can tell with the way Maya Jama speaks and chats, it's natural. She's just chatting, which like we're doing now. We're just having fun and we're having a nice time, and that's what it should be. And it's the same with music.
Stay home and chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.